and brightest day, in blackest night, all other podcasts tremble in fright. Losers cower before the power. Orange is lust, and blues you can trust. Indigos feel, and white ones heal. Yellow scare, and green ones dare. That sapphire love and black hands glove will rock your foundation without hesitation. Chad and Mars face evil's might. Respect their power, for they'll make you see the light.
Hi, everybody. I'm Chad Bokelman.
I'm Mark Marble.
And this is the Lantern Cast,
episode 617.
That's right. We are tonight catching up on Absolute Green Lantern and actually kind of, wrapping up this first arc, right?
I don't know. I think that maybe, I guess, I don't necessarily know if I feel that way, especially since we found out what the Tomar thing was, which is completely irrelevant to thinking that was going to begin a whole new arc. I wonder if they like randomly pick Green Lantern terms out of a hat just to assign a different meaning to, because they don't, it's almost like they have a grab bag of terms and characters. It's like, we're going to take one out and then we're going to match it up with this concept, because that's what it seems like. And I'm only half joking about that. This issue is the king of that. So let's dive into the sucker as much as we can. We have these conversations about fear. This one begins with a, how far out is the world that's coming? And we see this big black in a ring shape, you know, kind of similar to what we've seen with the ring shape in the dark. But it's this big black circle. And I don't really care about this stuff with Cameron Chase. That I know she's a DC character. I did look her up last week and I read this the first time. I don't care. Her only real relevance in here, other than keeping bad company, because unfortunately we get Simon in this book because of her wearing a ski mask. Got to have some consistency, or the S&M mask if one prefers. Her real point in this story comes in at the
end.
It's
only S&M if it has a zipper over the mouth.
That's probably true. It's just a ski. it's just a ski mask, and he's driving a fancy car, so he's probably stealing cars like he always does. But Chase's only real role in this story, this issue, is because we find out, spoiler alert, that she is Joe's ex-fiance at the very end. But other than that, I don't really care about anything that she's really doing. So it's kind of a weird way to begin the issue. I guess
the only thing of relevance is that she's privy to everything that's been going on in the Absolute Universe in terms of,
yeah,
and she's aware
connection
of the situation in
Evergreen. And that's, but yeah, the reason she's not allowed to go to Evergreen specifically is because of her relationship with Joe. But either way, it doesn't really matter on that level. So now we go back to John Stewart here giving. Yeah, you're right. The literal dictionary in this. We have all of this is OWA. And yeah, you know, card is basically a cord is the dark side here. It's the chaos side of the spectrum. You got Raoul, which is weird because it's red, but it's not the way we conceive red. Sir, I guess, is the green, and our is the gold. And John apparently is technically more gold than yellow in this. Abin Sur, we find out, basically is the guardian of the green. And Evergreen was being judged because, I guess, what they do is they take a community on these planets, and the community is a microcosm of the world. So they judge the entire world by a community, which is a really shitty way of going about it. Because if they pick the wrong community, you're going to get the completely wrong impression, as based on some of the things you and I were just talking about before we recorded, that determines, you know, whether based, kind of like the celestial judging. And like I said, Quard is the lowest, and Rao, then Sir, then Our. And chaotic action is card accord, restraint from action, correction action, and then you have total understanding and enlightenment. Those are basically the four levels, the card, Rao, Sir, and Our. So Guy showed restraint, and somehow that makes him worthy of the red flame. And the task of Abin Sur is to initiate the Aeons or Ions were basically initiates into the light. And that's kind of how how these guys ended up getting recruited, why John is gold and why Guy is red. And, you know, Hal points out, did I really deserve this? And, you know, this darkness going through every thought in my head. And Guy says, every flame can be commanded, but you must have total understanding. Without total understanding, it's a Tomar, which basically just means anomaly, which, of course, gets Joe pissed. I can't blame her at this point. It's being labeled as the anomaly. And Joe kind of defends Hal a little bit here, saying, did he really deserve this? Why did Abensur do it? And John's like, well, it's kind of hard to know because he's dead. Can't really ask him. And because John was always searching for knowledge, that's why he became basically the keeper of the gold flame. And he points out that, like everything else in life, like you and I were talking, how you view things greatly depends on one's point of view. Because there are those who look at the opposite, who think the Owen way of looking at things is wrong, and that the Abencard, Quard, the Weaponers, the Black Stars, essentially are what's good. And now we get the repeat of the, how far out is the world that's coming, Joe? How far is the world of chaos? Which turns out to be Mogo. So Mogo is this world of chaos that's coming, and that's the voice that's inside Hal's head. Joe gets pissed off with all this, and she said, I'm the Tomar or the anomaly, whatever. I'm basically all Abensur's power, but none of his knowledge. It's like, so since I don't know what the rules are, they really don't have to apply to me. I don't have to follow them. So she goes, screw them, all this. Give me your hand, Hal, and I think I can help you. And he's like, he's reluctant. It's like, it wants to kill you. It wants to take you over. And it's like, right. But like John said, it's we're all pieces of one thing. So you're just the lowest level. That's all, which is kind of a cheap shot. And she grabs, she grabs hold of Hal's, black hand there, let go of my friend. And then Joe says, let's get out of there. Meanwhile, in Evergreen, where the green power battery thing is hovering in the ground, Hector Hammond and his lackeys are watching this thing. Then all of a sudden, the green energy coming out of the power battery starts turning into like this black sludge, which starts dripping out, and it starts shooting out and spreading all over the place. Everybody's panicking and running away. At the same time, Joe flies out of the central power or the power battery with holding Hal. Hector and everybody is calling in help. And then they realize, Carol fill-in points out that, the objects are the battery is gone, and you see this pool of black. And, Hector Hammond is trying to take credit. Hey, I just cleaned up the Green Lantern problem. You're welcome. And Mogo, Mogo is creeping ever closer. John's going to come back soon. Then we get the chase talking to Simon Baz stuff, which, again, I don't give a shit. And then you get to the very end where right after she finishes talking to Simon, that there's a knock on Chase's door. And we find out that it's Joe coming in with the injured, dazed Hal. Like, hey, Cam, I didn't know where else to go. Can we talk? Thus ends this issue, which was called Card or Quad Rao Sir Hour. Great title, Al. Al Ewing, writer, Janoi Lindsay, art, color, and cover, Louis Gattoni, letters, Juliet Necca, Mike Del Mundo, Nicholas Draper Ivy, variant covers, Ash Padilla, assistant editor, Andrew Marino, editor, Katie Kubert, group editor, and Chris Conroy, executive editor. A lot of exposition, pretty much. I was going to say, like, pretty much like five issues of exposition jammed all into the sixth issue.
And then we get a backup for Red Hood, which I like the art of. That's all I'll say about that. Yeah, art looks cool. Anyways, this, oddly enough, this might be the most I've liked Joe in a while.
Yeah, she was better in this issue. I mean, this was, she definitely was less annoying or less omnipotent and be all, she still has a little bit of that in this, but she's more relatable than in most of this book, and certainly kind of how they're making her in Core and the Green Lantern book.
I mean, ironically, she's acting very Hal Jordan like in terms of our universe is Hal Jordan, and the way John is acting is almost like, obviously he's still got his humanity and his perspective in some cases. But he's almost like the Guardians of the Universe fill in here, where he's just explaining the rules and Joe's like, damn the rules.
Yeah, that is true. I would agree with that. There is an element. There is a Hal like element in what she's doing.
Yeah, because I mean, John, I mean, John even acknowledges that, you know, there's the highest level and then the lowest level, but that's an Owen perspective. There are others that look in the opposite direction who see Oa as incorrect. So like, Joe's point is, what if it's all bullshit? Basically, who cares? If we're all one thing, I'm helping you up, then screw it. She literally says, screw this. So I like that moment. And I the idea, man, there was something I was looking for. You go ahead with anything you think, because I'm going to page through and find this exact quote here.
I didn't like the Simon stuff, clearly, because the one thing we don't need is Simon. I mean, I guess it could be worse. He could have been driving with Kelly, I suppose. she could have been riding shotgun. But again, this seems to be drifting more and more into just tying it in to the absolute universe, which I guess on one level makes sense, but another level is going to make it probably less Green Lantern specific, which maybe why we got all the exposition that we could have gotten parts of in the previous five issues all in this one. Again, I said it half jokingly, but I'm not a fan of taking all these Green Lantern concepts and names and just throwing them out interchangeably with terms and kind of like, you know, really flushing the mythology down the toilet with all this stuff. I don't know. It was okay. But it hasn't changed my view on the book. It hasn't all of a sudden made me more interested in the book than based on the trends. I'm still kind of like trending downward on this book.
Yeah. So the thing is what Hal says to them. He's, what about me? Did I deserve this talking in my head, telling me every dark thought I have is right? Why would he do that to me? What good is that? I try so hard to control it, to stop it. And Guy says every flame can be commanded, but you must have understanding to command the flame. Total understanding. Control of the flame without understanding is Tomar anomaly. Isn't that what being a Green Lantern is? Being able and having the willpower to overcome great fear before you even have the understanding of absolutely everything that has to do with the Green Lantern Corps?
Yeah, I would say so. And let's be honest, we can play devil's advocate here. It's like, how many people have total understanding of anything? Even if they think that they do.
that's kind of my second point in a way, is how could they, any of them, Joe on the good side, Hal on the bad side, which both of which I put in quotes, how could either of them have any understanding when you show up talking in riddles?
Yeah.
Yes, your universal translator or whatever is freaking decoding things into English, but I still don't understand what the hell you're saying. How can anybody have total understanding when there is no ability to decipher the meaning behind your words, and you're speaking to us as if it's fact?
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot to wrap around and trying to figure out where they're really going with this and why, and did John and Guy get their total understanding? Did they somehow magically had a total understanding of that part of the spectrum before they got gifted with the power, and that's why they got gifted it, or because they had a strong connection to the spectrum, then once they were gifted the power, then because their minds were open, then they became kind of enlightened enough to have total understanding and command of that part of this. Who really knows? I don't know.
Yeah. And then the whole, they take power from the dark without restraint, the Abenquard, the Weaponers, the Black Stars. I don't know, that kind of reminded me of the difference they drew the line between the Ancient One using the Dormammu's power from the dark dimension.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
And Caecilius?
Yes, good recall. Yeah. Yes.
Occasionally I remember things, but yeah, I see a lot of parallels here and things like that. It's just, there are good moments here. It's just, it feels like this issue is dotting the I's and crossing the T's on a sentence we don't understand to begin with. I don't know how you circle that square. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. I think. And plus, I mean, in a way, it depends on what, I guess, what your point is, what your agenda is. But it's really, it seems an odd choice to build up all these, build up all these questions one after the other, and then dump all these answers to you all at once in this heavy exposition where the odds are people are not going to remember it anyway, because there's so much shit to try to unscramble and try to understand. And then still tying it into, oh, you know, Mogo is related to the dark, you know, to the black stars and related to the Quardians now. And so, so the Quardians really aren't yellow here. And which again was interesting, maybe not surprising in a dark side world, that it looks, you know, the gold stuff on the gold or yellow side seems to be positive, which is weird. I mean, onto itself, even though, like I said, technically John is gold. They're making him the gold flame, not necessarily the yellow flame, though I guess we're supposed to assume it's one and the same. I don't know. It's okay. But I do agree with you, your point you made before. I do think Joe comes across as a little less judgy and a little more likable in this issue. And
there's not a lot of Green Lantern qualities on display here.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so. And that really wasn't the case probably in the previous issues with her completely condemning Hal, even though, you know, she was the one who basically touched Abensur and helped crush the town when the power battery fell because of what she did. Now, it was instinctual. I mean, she didn't know that, but again, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, or not so good intentions. She wasn't really reaching out for anything other than to stop Abensur. So that may not have been, you know, 100% good, as opposed to just what felt right for her at the time. I mean, it is what it is. It's kind of hard to rank this book in the sliding scale of where we are right now, because there are not a lot of B pluses or A's to be found in the books we've been reading over the past few months. Maybe Green Lantern Dark is the only one, but I'm telling you, but everything else is hovering around like C-tier storytelling. And
yeah, it makes me want to, and I've said this before and I still haven't done it, so God knows if I'll actually do it this time. It does make me want to catch up on the Absolute Universe, because there's so much here, especially with Chase, Cameron Chase, being a member of the DEO, which she is in our universe. And then obviously the stuff, it says Quard, and then it also says Rao, which is a big word in DC. We know what Rao is, and we have a character in this universe who, you know, Kryptonian. I actually haven't read Absolute Superman, so is he still Kryptonian? I don't actually know. I assume so. But all of these things going on, and then there's also like even some subtle coloring things. Like, for instance, we see Hal in his black hand, and he's, you know, covered in the Quard coloring and everything. But every time we see John, he's in this yellow gold light, except when he says, how far out is the world that's coming, Joe? How far out is the world of chaos? How far out is the Black Star world? That entire panel, despite him in the three panels previous being lit up and consumed in this gold power, is fully Quard in terms of coloring. So, yeah. Like, are you just emphasizing the severity of the world that's coming and the situation that's brewing, or is there something influencing him there in delivering this message of fear, essentially?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, again, it's more questions, and it would be really interesting, and that's part of the reason I want to catch up on Absolute as a whole, is how much of this is more enjoyable with the context, and if so, isn't that a problem?
Yeah, I'd say so.
But that's all I really got for this one. I think it's maybe one of the best issues we've had of the series thus far. But also, I don't think that's necessarily saying that much.
I was just gonna say, and that's the tragedy in all this, Jordan.
Yeah. No, I think that's it though for this one.
Or one of my favorite lines from The Odd Couple is, with Murray the cop, when Felix says to him, "You did your best, Murray. That's what's so tragic." So yeah.
Yep. That's all she wrote, folks. So I guess
that's all, folks.
We'll see where we'll see where the next issue takes us with issue 7.
Oh, for all, yeah, and we know we're gonna be doing Core next. That'll be real fun.
All right. What's next?
All right, so I really don't have all that much, but I want to revisit, actually, as far as what I've seen, I actually saw the same thing I saw last week. I saw Jaws again. I took my mom to see Jaws on Friday, though it was the 2D version, like I think I mentioned last week, that I think Jaws pretty much lost all their premium screens in theaters last week. They've lost like about 1,000 of them, period, of their... They like it was on close to 3,000 screens, I think it was on when it started, and they lost like a third of it heading into the second weekend, and probably almost all, if not all, were the premium screen. So not surprisingly, the money tanked dramatically in weekend two. But the 2D version was good, so I'm glad we got to do that. And just one little thing, follow up to I'm up to date on Peacemaker, so I like episodes 2 and 3 much, much better than the first episode. Speaking of which, I decided for the hell of it to watch the official podcast, the Peacemaker podcast, the first episode for the second season. Not because I really...
The one by DC officially?
Yeah, the one James Gunn and his wife. Okay.
Gotcha. Economos. Yeah, go ahead.
I was curious about it, but not necessarily because I wanted to... And Frank Grillo was on it. I liked the two... They had Frank Grillo, and I forget the actress's name. I think she plays Bordeaux. She's really attractive. She was the one who apparently really... She auditioned for The Engineer, but she didn't get that job in the Superman movie. But James Gunn liked her, so that's why she got this job. But the thing that I found interesting about it was when James Gunn himself kind of, again, reiterated the fact how this episode is really not for kids, even though, again, the whole idea that this is the follow-up to, the Superman... But he also pointed out that this was probably the dirtiest, in his opinion, the dirtiest or raunchiest episode of the entire season, which still comes back to my main point. It's like, you're going to have higher visibility for this episode on purpose. So don't pretend to shit us to tell us you didn't do it on purpose to make that the dirtiest episode for the shock value of all the of knowing there were going to be a bunch of people and probably a bunch of kids that were going to be allowed to watch episode one because it's a follow up to Superman, plus people who had watched season one of Peacemaker and said, oh, it's going to be, bad language and stuff and violence, but it'll be okay. And it's like, yeah. So I thought that was interesting in his own way of kind of just, it's like, that's still a choice, James. It's still a choice. But nonetheless, I think the show is picked up, but I still don't agree with that choice of what he did. There are ways he could have worked around that. He could have had a flashback to what actually happened down the road and just kind of alluded to it. But it's all right. I'm not a prude. I just thought that was James Gunn doing what James Gunn does, like I mentioned before, knowing from the shock value and ha ha ha, because a bunch of people that are going to be watching this going in thinking it's going to be one thing just to give you the big orgy scene. But it's interesting thus far. Let's see how it finishes up. And I think that's it. This week, again, there's nothing playing that I want to see. So we're going to be going to see Regal's playing. They have this thing going all month long where they're playing an old or classic movie a new movie every day of the week, like full sets too, like two afternoons, two evening sets. And by luck of the draw, the movie that they had lined up for tomorrow, for Thursday, was John Carpenter's The Thing. So that's what we're going to be going to see.
Gotcha. I think I had mentioned it when I went to go see FF. There was but I don't know if I mentioned it on air, that there was a trailer for a movie that I was looking forward to, and it was a space-based movie or something like that, and I wasn't quite sure what it was called. Do you remember? So I've finally figured it out over time, and it's called Project Hail Mary.
Oh, yes, we talked about that. The Ryan Gosling movie.
Yeah. So I further figured out, and I'm not sure if this is because of you or what. I just sort of, went down the rabbit hole. It's based on a novel.
The book. Yep.
Yeah, yep. Which is based on not the novel is based on. So the novel is written by Andy Weir, who is the author of the book behind The Martian.
Martian. Yep.
Which I really enjoy The Martian. I wouldn't necessarily say it's one of my favorite movies of all time, but it's definitely one I return to quite frequently. It's a really great, I don't know what to watch, let me put on something movie. It's a really good, I'm doing chores around the house, which will leave me in the living room at multiple interludes. So I'd like to catch something fun on the screen as background noise movie. It's just a good movie to watch. So I enjoy that quite a bit. So I was like, you know what? I saw the trailer for Project Hail Mary. I'm interested in it. The damn movie doesn't come out until 2026, which I guess tells you guys what's going to be on my list next year. Assuming it's not already out by the time we do that. I forget how early in 2026 that movie comes out. I would assume pretty early if we already have the trailer for it. But regardless, I went out and I bought the book, and then I also bought the book of The Martian just to see, because with The Martian, I don't think I knew it was a book before the movie came out, and I really enjoyed the movie, so I want to see if I enjoy the book as well. And now, because I know that there's a movie coming out based on another Andy Weir book, I want the experience of having read the book before I see the movie, so I get both perspectives. So
March 20th.
Okay, yeah, we'll definitely have done the episode by then. I say, unless I just put some sort of massive jinx on the whole thing.
You mean what it doesn't get released in 26 at all? Like that kind of jinx? Because you know it's not going to get... Because you know the odds are it ain't getting moved up.
Yeah. So I got a couple of novels I'll be reading. Also while I was out and about, and I posted this on our social medias, I happened to stumble across, because Half Price Books does this. Do they have Half Price Books up north where you're at? Is that something you guys have in your area?
Don't know by name. I don't know if there's anything that I remember seeing around here.
I know it's a chain, but I don't know if it's like a southern chain or if it's scattered throughout the country, but I don't know. Half Price Books, it's kind of like a resale shop where lots of people bring their books, and, you know, depending on the condition, they just, you know, slap on a sticker half the price of the cover price or even less and put it on their own shelves. It's like a used bookstore. But they also take DVDs, Blu-rays, things like that. You'll also end up seeing little tchotchkes and things like that. But you also can sometimes see like action figures or board games or Funko Pops. And I randomly stumbled across one of the Fugitive Toys exclusive White Lantern Firestorm Funko Pops. I already have it, but this was the glow version, and I happened to find that out in the wild, which was pretty fun. It was like $8, so I snapped that up while I was at it. With the White Lantern Funko Pops, I was not necessarily going for every single one of them, because I knew there were glow versions and things like that. So I was just like, you know what? My focus will be on regular versions, so I wasn't going to go out of my way to find the glow. But it was just randomly right in front of me for $8 while I was doing absolutely nothing in relation to it. So I picked that up. One thing I wanted to say, too, because I've been talking a lot about how I on various episodes about how, you know, my eBay habits and things like that. Be careful out there, guys, searching for Green Lantern things, because there's something that I realized, because Green Lantern is entering the zeitgeist again in popularity. It's being, whether that's you attribute it to the Superman movie or you attribute it to the upcoming Lanterns movie, because of that, it's now a buzzword, and it's one of those things that people are going to attach to every single one of their listings that are even remotely DC Comics related. So the feed, when you search for something Green Lantern related within the shop and sort by most recent, you're going to get less and less things of direct relevance to GL without encountering a bunch of bullshit that has nothing to do with it. So you'll see, you know, a random DC issue or a Superman trading card, or like you'll be scrolling and you'll see a Green Lantern issue and maybe a Green Lantern action figure. And then like six or seven things that have nothing to do with Green Lantern in terms of the actual character or franchise. And then some more Green Lantern specific stuff. So it's making it seem maybe to outside viewers like there's less stuff out there. I just think overall there's more attention to the property right now. It's a multiple factor thing. It's the exposure of Green Lantern as a franchise. It's the anticipation of upcoming things. So the speculative market is going a little bit crazy. And, you know, there are deals to be found out there, but don't get so caught up in seeing less Green Lantern in your feed because of people spamming the keyword just to get people to land on their listings. There's still roughly the same amount of stuff out there, so deals can be found. You just have to hunt harder. And actually, Jim and I have been talking about this because Jim's on like a kick of, I don't know what you guys talk about in your conversations, Mark, but Jim's on a kick of buying key issues and things like that. So him and I talk about, you know, what issues we've been picking up online, and he's been pointing me to Whatnot, to check out the Whatnot stream so that I can pick up some cheap things, you know, if I pay attention to some of those live streams, which I've been playing around with. I haven't done yet. I'm just trying to get in the habit of how do I do this? How do I find the right streams or the right people, and just kind of getting a sense of how it all works before I actually bid on something. If people out there are still looking for filling in holes in their Green Lantern collection or buying keys or whatever, eBay is still a viable option. It's just very cluttered right now and hard to find what you're looking for. So an alternative, you know, sponsored by Jim Ford is Whatnot if you're out there taking a look for things.
Good advice, good words to live by.
For sure. Other than that, I don't know if I had anything else. I know Core came out today, and I don't want to promise it'll be in next episode, guys, because we stopped doing that, but we'll be talking about that soon. And then I think Dark is ending soon, right? That should be coming out, unless did they delay that one by another month or whatever.
Dark shouldn't be coming out that soon, because we weren't that far behind in Dark, were we?
I don't know. I remember we, because it came out the same week as something else, so we delayed
talking. Yeah, but I don't think we, well, for some reason, I don't think that we, let's see, we did Green Lantern 26
next week. As we record this, guys, it's the 10th. Next week is nothing, and then the week after is Green Lantern 27.
It probably came out the same week as either, it had to come out the same week either as Core or Green Lantern. I think it was Green Lantern, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
But either way, that should still be, well, it does make a difference, because if it was Core, it technically would have been. Well, it actually should make a difference, because it's a bi-monthly book. So if it follows...
That's right. I forgot. Yeah.
So following its release schedule, even if it came out the last week in August, then the reality is, no, we should have a gap this month. We should be able to do something else other than... So in all likelihood, Core will probably be the next thing up.
Yeah. As of right now, solicits have Green Lantern Dark 7 coming out on October 22nd. So, yeah. Yeah, so it'll be a while. Never mind. But we have the Siege of Starbreaker Core, or whatever the fuck it's called, to keep us busy until then.
Yeah, that was it's an issue.
Yeah. You know, I think just to tease the episode, I think Mark and I will have different opinions on this one. Some similar, I think, I can't entirely say that this issue is without fault, but I think the Core issue might be the best we've had in the series thus far.
Again, the bar to make that analogy, to make the point. Yeah, I don't know. I want to go back and reread it, because I actually read it tonight before I had to reread this issue. That, I mean, there are some things in it that are fine. I mean, it doesn't move the bar very far, as far as it doesn't have any dramatic changes.
Yeah, my critiques, and I'm not getting into it obviously, but like are more like, it depends what happens next. It's like, okay, this happened, but if they don't follow up on it, I'm going to be pissed, you know, type of thing. So that doesn't necessarily give says something bad about the actual situation itself. It's just that it's got to have some follow-up, and again, we'll get to it, but yeah, it's a lot of my critiques depend on where we go next, so I don't think that can perfectly be attributed to the issue itself for its own inherent content from the cover, front cover to back cover, is necessarily makes it a bad issue unless they don't follow up on some things. So But again, we'll get there. It's just it's fresh in our mind, guys. So we're itching to talk about it.
Yeah, I'd say that's part of it. And it is interesting. Turning the tide to us ever so briefly, let's say, with it being taking place, with the Lanterns being on the offensive, and Starbreakers being on the defensive. I thought that kind of was cool. Like I said, it's when we get into the issue, it's like, yeah, that little status quo doesn't really stay there that long. So some of it doesn't, but and there's some characters, some face to heel and heel to face turn in there. Right. That's arguably is highly, highly convenient and not overly justified for it's based on it's because of the brevity of the, oh, wow. I should have thought of that.
And there's not a bunch of artistic mistakes. Like Adara has her three faces back. Ion looks like a whale again, you know, so on and so forth.
Yeah. So. Other than Ion and who's riding Ion again and what happened to the who we thought was riding Ion the last time we saw him. But
yeah.
But other than that, things are par for the course so far, kind of in Jeremy's run. You like to think there would be an explanation for that coming in the next issue, and maybe there will be, but that's the sad part. That's another tragedy in all this, Jordan. You just never know if there's ever going to be an acknowledgement of, hey, didn't we just see this? What happened to that? What happened to that character? They were just here. Why are they not here now? Where's Nort? Where the hell's Nort?
So we hope you've enjoyed your sneak preview of our next episode.
That's
most
right. you betcha.
In the meantime, I guess if people want to reach out to us, what do they do?
Lanterncast@gmail.com. Website is lanterncast.com. You can follow us on Blue Sky, Twitter, Facebook, #geocast to track us down. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, wherever you listen to us on, please leave us a positive review. Last but not least, if you'd like to leave us a text or a voicemail for our ever-expanding, soon-to-be jumbo feedback episode, 708 Lantern, and let us know what you think. And Lantern Cast Vids, too. We haven't mentioned Lantern Cast Vids in a while. That's our YouTube channel.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.